Jaguars Monday is next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
That'll do it for this program. It's a wrap, but let's head down to the stadium where, as always, it should be lively on Jaguars Monday. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Out on a limb.
And you start it with Beck, loser, huh? Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
You're
guys.
A loser, Frangie.
Yeah, way to go.
I don't think I knew what that was.
That's embarrassing.
How did I get credit for that?
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, it's your show. Your name's
embarrassing
on
it. We played, or embarrassing I didn't know what it was?
Both.
Both?
Isn't
both.
It the Frangie show?
It is.
I guess it is.
So maybe you should know what the heck's going on.
We get reminded 10,000 times a day it's the Frangie show.
There you go. That's a good point. Well said.
And now you're saying you don't know what's going on.
I didn't know the song. That's what I'm telling you. Hey, don't get ornery with me. You got 2 hours of ornery to get to, okay? You get ornery with everybody else.
Who's in the studio? You're by yourself. Would everyone leave you?
Just me. Yeah, they all left me. They didn't want to hear you, okay? They were fine when it was me.
I don't want to hear me.
I don't want to hear him either, but I have to. One of those nights.
Oh, boys. So how do we start this, JP? Hey, guys, what's on tap for tonight? How about that, huh? Boys.
Yeah, put it in our court. Great. We'll recap the 19-17 loss. Where do you start? You start on offense, right? I mean, the defense showed up for the most part. They didn't have a perfect day, but of the sides of the ball, I think they had the better day. But now it's 0-3, and where do you go from here? You go to freaking London is where you go from
so
here.
So I got a question for you, Frank, because you just spent 3 hours on the airways.
Yeah. Right.
What was the most of the calls? Fire Gus, fire Dave, fire both, get rid of Blake Bortles. Which of those four?
We don't do calls.
So oh, that's right. I forgot. You don't do calls anymore.
We don't do calls. That's why, because I don't want to hear all that. I think in the fan base, it has been Gus until today. And today, it's been more a head scratching of, I'm still mad at Gus, but I'm worried a little bit about the quarterback. That's what I think. Do you agree with that in the fan base?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've said from the beginning, and I'm going to preface the entire night tonight with this, and I'm sure we'll get calls about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe in firing a coach, and I said this last week, so I'm going to do the disclaimer again, in the middle of a season unless he loses the team or there's an immoral thing going on.
I agree with that, by the way.
I'm
going to take the same beating you're about to take, so, too, but now, I agree with that.
That doesn't mean that's – now, Shad might feel differently. Here's the legal disclaimer. These are not the thoughts of the Jaguars organization or my boss, Shad Khan.
These thoughts are our own.
But these are my own thoughts. I don't think it benefits you. I don't think you
I
get
don't either.
Better.
I don't either.
There's Pete.
I don't think you fire him now. What do? You hire Doug Marrone? I mean, if you hire Doug Marrone, let's just play this out. You fire Gus after London, if they lose. You got, 12 games left. Doug Marrone goes 7-5. Are you forced to keep him? I mean, that's another situation that nobody thinks about, because if Gus isn't going to fix it in the next 12 games, 13 games, then you go get a guy you want to go get. You don't get somebody you're stuck with because he's an interim coach.
Well, and Pete, let me ask you this. You're way closer to objective than all of us around here are.
I'm very objective, Frank.
Yeah, I know you are. but Pete, were we wrong about the talent? Are we just surprised that Blake's not playing at a very high level? What's your read on it?
Well, it's young talent, so it just depends on when it gets to a point where it can be productive talent. So that's always a concern, and I don't think they've got to that point yet. The other thing is, Blake has regressed. He's regressed in a big way, in my mind. And I said it during the summer. Tony gave me crap during the summer.
Did.
I said his motion is worse, his mechanics are worse.
Yeah, you did.
And he has been worse in a lot of ways. So, yeah. And one more criticism while we're at it, and we're going to blast this one all night. What the hell is that offense they're running? I mean, look, really, you got playmakers all over the place. You get a turnover. Try and take a shot. You had Marquise Lee wide open on a deep ball. You don't go back to it. They dink and dunk and they dink and dunk it, and they want to run the ball. I get it. You want to run the ball. Well, why? Tennessee ran for a 181 yesterday and scored 10 points. That's not how you win in this league. They got to open it up. They got to play up-tempo. They got to throw it around. And then if Blake stinks in that kind of system, then you got a problem.
And I think the tempo, I totally believe that. They got something to get. He's better off schedule. I know you don't want to try and win.
I mean,
win
come
off
on,
schedule,
wait a
though.
Second now. Whoa,
isn't
wait.
He?
Whoa.
Isn't he?
Frank, are you now, if you're going to say things like that, you have to stay until I'm done ripping you one.
Okay, because well, you can rip me all you want, but I said it for.
Well, that's fine, but you don't design an offense for off-schedule plays. But like, hey, hey, everyone miss a block, and Blake, you run around, and hopefully we can make something happen. Hell of an idea. What a good idea.
That's not what he means.
Hey, 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 listen to me, Ring. The bottom line is this. You absolutely call some plays to get tempo going, some tempo plays.
And tempo is different than off schedule, Frank. No, I think you speed it up as well. Off schedule is different.
Tony, if you play tempo, you're going to get those off schedule plays, whether you like it or not.
You cannot game plan for an off schedule play. That's why they're called off schedule.
But you're missing the point. Okay,
no,
the point is,
I get the point.
Once you play fast, I'll tell you what. I'll bet you a lunch. Okay, right now you'll eat a piece of lettuce, but I'll bet you one of your pieces of lettuce for lunch. That if you play up tempo, guess what? He's going to get out of the pocket. Guess what? He's going to scramble some. You're going to see him be, and that's because that's who he is. And if you play more up tempo and play faster, you're going to see some of that.
Guys,
agree or disagree?
Listen, I thought they should have sped up the pace yesterday as well. We talked about it. I thought that would have been a good idea because the pace was not working. But I don't. You can talk about you don't like the offense, Pete. They took two or three shots, and he missed every one of them, and they weren't close. And one was an interception.
Take five more, then.
They're not even close, Pete.
Yeah, but
Tony, if you play fast, and I get what Frank's talking about. If you play fast, it's almost like you go into
you get off the field faster if you're not executing.
If you play that way, there are going to be off plays that you get outside the pocket that Blake can make and scramble around and keep his head up and make a throw. I understand what Frank's saying.
Okay,
you're wrong.
Okay. No, I'm not wrong because, guys, listen, let me just say this. Let me say this about this. We can talk about this all night.
We will.
When you cannot
– I'm calling
when you can't control the middle of the line of scrimmage at all and you can't run – I saw the same thing, by the way, on Thursday night, and it's why the Houston Texans couldn't score a point. Is because if a team plays too high and too man the entire game and you can't run it against it, you are really limited.
Well, and you no question.
And
that's
guess
a
what?
Gigantic
and
concern.
Guess what? They were two high safeties playing two man, aggressive with the wide receivers, and they stopped the run with the four guys up front and whatever linebackers they had to leave in the box. And so if you want to talk about opening it up and doing all this stuff, you better be able to run it a little bit when you have a weak box. And if you're not going to be able to do that, you better take what the defense gives you underneath, and that didn't happen either, by the way. We tried to force things and do stuff, and it didn't work. So you can make up stuff all you want. You're off schedule. Crap. It doesn't work.
Hey, Tony, when Marquise got behind him, what defense were they in?
I had to go back and look at it. They played some single high. They played very little of it, though.
By the way, that off-schedule crap, I would have liked to see that off-schedule crap first and whatever from the 31, bro.
It was single high because the safety got sucked up in the middle of the field. I remember now.
Chadwick. JP, I'm turning it over to you. I may call in. The show is Jaguars Monday, and it starts now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Yes, it does from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer from Fort Lauderdale. We're live on 1010XL radio in Jacksonville and on Jaguars.com and the Jags app. It's a free download on your mobile phone, so check it out. You can watch us live if you're into that, or you can listen to us live, as always. We'll recap the 1917 loss to the Ravens. Jags were in it, but a bad ending. Crazy fourth quarter, by the way. Back and forth interceptions. The blocked field goal kind of turned the game for good. Set up the Ravens game winner. Bortles didn't have a great day. The run game wasn't there. And a little post-game yapping between Steve Smith and Jalen Ramsey.
Well, and there was some talking also. And I only heard it. I heard it on the Dempsey show, but Derek Marks questioning the play calling
a little bit. Yeah, we'll get to that too.
Yeah, I thought that was a little worrisome to me.
It's a little out of character.
Why?
It sounded like
Alan Hearns was questioning the play calling too, without questioning it.
I didn't hear Hearns's comments.
it was something along the lines about opening it up or taking shots or something along those lines. And they're right. They are 100% spot on, Tony. Hey, Tony, by the way, my brother just texted me and said, you guys could throw the ball and you had Wydell in the middle of your line.
Yeah. Well, got him.
No comment.
Got him.
Pete, but you understand what my point is. It's the same thing that happened in New England with Houston. They struggled to move the ball because they couldn't run it at all against that look, and they weren't patient enough to take the stuff underneath. They took everything over the top away from the Houston Texans. And not as much, but the Ravens did that against the Jaguars as well. And the couple times that they took shots, guess what? A couple times they took shots, he missed badly.
Okay, the one, the Marquise Lee, he missed that. There's no doubt. That's a big play. That should have been a touchdown.
Julius Thomas running down the seam, missed that.
Go back to it.
Deep over route to Allen Robinson, interception.
Tony, the design of the offense was crappy. It was crappy Sunday. And that's on the heels of last week when they threw dink and dunks in the backfield. How many times did they throw behind the line of scrimmage at San Diego?
I don't love the bubble screens. I'm with you there. I don't like that. But Pete,
then you're agreeing with me. You don't like the play calling.
I didn't mind it as much in this past weekend as I did San Diego. When I watched that game, I didn't say come away that it was awful play calling. Sure. Would I like to see one or two more shots down the field? Okay, great. But looking at the situation, you have a quarterback that's really struggling and is late with balls and is inaccurate. And for whatever reason, isn't seeing it really well right now, Pete.
No, he's not seeing it very well
right now. And you can't
run
the ball on top of it. I'm just telling you, it limits you what you feel comfortable doing. Part of play calling.
It does limit you.
So
I don't know. I just think
– It limits you, Pete. I mean, you agree with me. I'm not saying it's perfect.
Play
I'm not
up-tempo and get him going and try and throw the ball.
I'm not taking Greg Olsen or any coaches off the hook. Listen, when you're losing, everyone's responsible. Everybody. But I'm also not going to let the players off the hook and say, well, we should do this or that. Well, you want to do that? Then how about winning? How about blocking up front and winning outside?
Right now I can't hear you guys, so – too bad. I can't hear Baselli.
Oh, we'll have to work on that.
I can hear him.
Yeah, we can hear Pete just fine.
Oh, good. He's gone.
We'll work on the connection with
Pete. Hey, here, I hear you now. It comes in and out because I can't hear you in my ear.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, what do you want us to do, Pete?
I want you to – actually, I was hoping that your mic would go quiet today.
But Pete, you understand – I mean, I think we're actually on the same page. In a perfect world with the weapons outside and everything else, I would like more throwing as well. I do think you have to be able to run it more than 2 yards a carry, though.
I agree. But if you loosen them up with the pass, then you
Pete,
can run
but they
it.
Couldn't.
They ran, Tony, they ran on four of their first five first down plays. Four of the first five. This isn't 1985. This is 2016. Dictate tempo.
Could it be that maybe there's a lack of confidence?
Well, lack of confidence in what? The quarterback? Then you got a major problem.
Well, what have you – you've watched the last 3 weeks, Pete.
Well, okay, but then do something to get him out of his funk. I'd rather see a guy throw for 360, three touchdowns, and two picks than that garbage that they showed on the field yesterday.
You know how many times they've won football games around here with Blake throwing over 300 yards?
Yeah, because a lot of times.
You know how many times? I'm just asking. Just tell me how many times they've won with Pete.
You can skew those statistics any way you want.
Just answer the question. How many times have they won? Zero.
How many?
Zero. Never.
Well,
ever.
If they
ever.
Up tempo,
ever.
Threw for 300.
No, Pete. They haven't. They've never done it.
0-9.
You're making up stuff now, Pete. Now you sound
defense,
stupid.
Tony, is the defense better now?
It was this week. It wasn't last week.
You're just so caught up in the 1990s and run the ball. The Tennessee Titans ran for a $180 and scored 10
points. I don't want to run
yesterday.
Tennessee's offense.
Exotic smash mouth.
In a perfect world, I'd throw it 60% and run it 40%. That's what I would do.
Right.
But
I'd throw it
65%
and run it 35%. And most of those runs would be when you have the lead, not on first down like it was yesterday.
Let's take our first time out on Jaguars
Please, I
Monday.
Need a timeout.
Yeah, you do. You need to cool off a little bit there, Tone. Well, this should be a fantastic night, by the way. We'll take your calls in the second hour tonight. We'll go around the league a little later as well. We'll come back and break down Blake Bortles' day a little more. What are some of the reasons for the issues? Calling all Jacksonville runners, don't miss the Stash Dash 5K at Everbank Field. That's Saturday, October 15th. Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Jags-Raiders game. Sign up today at jaguars.com/stash-dash. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
I think the big picture is we got to win now. You know, we've got to find a way. And, you know, but it still goes back to our process. It still goes back to what does it take to get this. We can all sit here and talk about we got to win. We must win. We got to, all right, that's great. But what do we need to do here? What do we need to do today? What do we need to do tomorrow? And, you know, that part of it. And that's what this team is still learning and coming together on. And, you know, we just got to keep challenging.
There he is, head coach Gus Bradley on Jaguars Monday. That was earlier today. The Jaguars head coach, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, yeah. Pete Prisco.
Okay, I got a couple things to say.
Yes.
Real quick. Pete, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so on Twitter, one of the strong reactions to early in the show is that I'm giving the coaches a pass. I am not giving the coaches a pass at all. And I've said, Pete agrees with me, this is a players' league, but coaching is still very important. I'm not giving the coaches a pass at all. Ultimately, Gus and the entire staff will be judged by one thing and one thing only, and that's wins and losses. And that's what it comes down to. My whole point is all I hear people talking about is fire this person, fire that person. The job of a coach is to – it would be one thing if I saw the game plan that was put out there and saw guys executing it and we still weren't having success. But when I turn on the tape and see clear errors, getting whipped at the point of attack, poor decision-making – bad execution. I'm not saying it's the perfect game plan, but it doesn't matter what your game plan is if you can't execute on the field and win the one-on-one battles. That's my whole point. So I'm not giving anyone a pass. I'm just saying, I watch the tape. I don't care what plays you call. You don't block. You don't throw it accurately. You don't throw it to the right guy. You don't run good routes. You don't do whatever. I'm not trying to point out any one person, but you don't do all those things. You're not going to have success.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's a players' league, but you also have to do the best that you can to try and offset the fact that you're not loaded up front and you can't line up and power people around. So you scheme things up, get the ball out of your hands, throw the ball quick, get, you know, not little dink and dunks behind the line of scrimmage, Tony. Look, ideally, everybody would like to score 21 points and then have a great defense and run the ball in the fourth quarter and go home with a win. But that's not reality.
I understand that. But, Pete, all those things you just talked about, you still have to execute. You still have to do it. You don't think some of those plays are called, those quick-hitting plays down the field, skinny posts? I can show you on tape. And they weren't executed. No, I'm not saying, listen, I'm sure Greg will tell you, and I could go back, I would have been more aggressive at the end of the game. Now, if he was more aggressive at the end of the game and it didn't work out, they would have killed him for not running clock. So you can't win there if you're the offensive coordinator. You only get credit if it works. But I would have probably been more aggressive because of
– what were you killing the clock to do, to get a field goal? Then you're going to put yourself up. Go win the game. Go get a touchdown.
Pete, you don't have to yell at me. I agree with you. I would have been more aggressive for more than anything because they couldn't run the ball.
I coming from because if I looked at that and I was sitting here watching yesterday, I'm like – for in this first four – five first downs that they ran the ball on four of them. That's not dictating tempo. That's trying to become Seattle. You're not Seattle.
Repeat, would you not agree with me that if you don't block and you don't throw it on time and accurately and don't run the right routes and everything else, and I'm including everyone here on purpose because I'm not pointing out any one position group or individual, But if you don't do those things, does it matter what scheme you run?
The New England Patriots.
I'm asking you a question, Pete. Does it matter what scheme you run?
I'm going to give you an example. 2 weeks ago, New England Patriots offensive line, which is a mishmash of guys. You'll even admit that. It's a mishmash of guys.
Yes.
They play Miami. Miami comes to New England. Jimmy Garoppolo throws it. It's his second start. He throws it around 25 times without Gronk, without the guys on the offensive line. And what happens? He picks them apart. He's given the opportunity to do it, and he did it. That's what Jacksonville needs to do.
What if Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Blake right now?
Well, maybe he is. But that's a whole other issue, Tony. If that's the case, then you've got bigger issues in Jacksonville.
Well, I don't disagree, and I'm not saying he is. I've said all along, I think New England does a great job, and I tip my cap to them. They're very, very well coached. They're executed. They have some – everyone talks about they don't have anybody. Julian Edelman, by the way, is one of the best slot receivers in football. And go look at what the Patriots were. You want this argument about players' league or coaching and everything else? Go look at what Tom Brady and the Patriots did without Julian Edelman with Gronk last year. They were very pedestrian, and so they have good players, but they are very well coached. So I got no complaint there. I'm just telling you, they execute because I saw them last week, and I don't know how this became a Patriot-Jaguar comparison, but it has. Is if you don't execute. And you don't block up front, and you don't throw it on time and accurately, and you aren't crisp route running and everything else, it's hard to run any offense. I don't care what it is.
And I agree with you on that. You got to play. Players play.
It's no different than last week. You want to know the difference last week defensively and this week?
Yeah.
Number one, the front played much better, and the gap control was much better. Go turn on the tape. They didn't change defenses. They didn't all of a sudden say, let's put a whole new defense in, let's fire Todd Wash, and let's go to Tampa too because this doesn't work. They made some adustments, but it was their base defense, and guys did what they were supposed to do.
Here's the memo that never quite has made its way around. They are not Seattle.
I would agree with you 100%.
Okay, so why do they try to be Seattle? Look, I get it.
As far as great defense, run the ball?
Yes.
In my opinion, I agree with you, Pete. They have to be more aggressive through the passing game. And if Blake can't do it, find out now. Because they can't run it right now. I would change how I run the ball. Their zone scheme and stretch, outside stretch, is not working. Especially with the group they had in yesterday. They struggled in a mighty way. And so you have to change some things up. There has to be adjustments because what they have tried to do the first 3 weeks on the ground has not worked.
What do you do on the ground, Tony? What would you do? Go to power?
I would go more vertical, and I'd throw it more. And I know that's against everything. What?
I'm talking about the run.
Yeah, I go more vertical in the run game.
Just go straight up, just instead of trying to.
I wouldn't try to go horizontal in zone scheme. I'd go to a more of a gap scheme and just double teams. And say, you know what, I'm going to give it to Chris Ivory, and we're going to run the ball 20, 25 times, 30 times, whatever it is. We'll throw it 40, and we're going downhill, play action pass a little bit, and we're going to throw it around and try to get the ball into people's hands.
See, I'm okay with that. Because Chris Ivory running wide doesn't look right to me.
No.
It doesn't look right. He's a power inside the tackles runner.
It's not working.
Wide.
And it's not
right,
just,
it's not working.
No, in the up front or in the backfield. Not working. Cannot do it.
So
I would
why
change
not
it.
Come out against the Colts, who, by the way, played pretty well in defense against San Diego, surprisingly, yesterday. But why not come out against the Colts and play no huddle, fast, attack, mix in the run, draws and things like that when you get the passing game going. And instead of, like you said, instead of running wide with guys that shouldn't be running wide, and clearly the offensive tackles and the tight ends aren't blocking to allow you to go wide.
It's more inside, too. Inside really struggled yesterday.
Yeah, the inside. Well, I mean, you got a backup center and a backup guard
there.
I mean,
I'm telling you, they struggled.
Yeah, but
and by the way, AJ Can, who's really consistent, he struggled too.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game last week.
No one did.
Tony,
if you rushed for less than 2 yards a carry, no one did. Nobody.
Why not do that then? Why not do that this week against the Colts? Would you?
Yeah, I would. I just, Pete, did you not listen to what I just said? That's what I would do.
I'm saying you would. So you would, but you would go no huddle.
I would not.
Oh.
That worries me.
Mm.
I mean,
why?
I would probably go no huddle after I got one first down. So if I got into a drive, I get a first down, then I go no huddle.
Are you scared of Blake?
From what I've seen, I'm scared of consistency and execution, yes.
Is it a physical issue or a mental issue with him?
Right now, it's
both.
Both.
It's mental. It's mental.
Both.
Mechanics, arm.
He has six.
Whippy arm.
He has six interceptions in three games. Now, take the last one off because it's desperation. But he should have had a pick six. He throws there's a stick route,
right,
which is
a sit down
route to the tight end. He stares it down. The rookie linebacker reads it from jump street, and that should have been a house call.
He's
and I like it. And so I hate doing this, and this is why I don't like it, because I'm a player's guy. I mean, I don't want to just throw this all on Blake, but he's also the quarterback, and you're the franchise guy, and that comes with the territory. You have to play better. That's why those guys get paid more than anybody else.
That's right.
And
there's nobody who wants Blake to be that guy
more than me. Maybe he does.
Were you at all disturbed? So is 35 touchdowns fool's gold from a year ago?
Boy, Pete, I would have argued to the death 3 weeks ago, no. But right now, it's hard. There's not a lot of evidence right now this year to argue that point. If we're in a debate, because there's people who've been saying that for a while now, that last year was fool's gold and Blake's not, those numbers aren't indicative of who Blake is. And it was easy to kind of argue that point, debate it from the side I have been on, that he is that guy. There's no evidence right now to tell you that those people aren't right. And the only way you change that, listen, and this is a league where you are what your record says you are and what your tape says you are on the field. And right now, this is an 0-3 team and a quarterback who's struggling.
Tony, what about his mechanics? I talked about it for a long time here.
I argued with you, and I'm probably wrong because
I did. You said go back and look at it last year, and I did last week. I went back and looked at it, and I put on the Tampa game last year when he was very good. There were two touchdowns. And I want anybody to, if you get an opportunity, to go do it. The two touchdown passes he threw to Robinson, and then I think it was Hearns when he was like at the 15 or the 12. Go back and look at those passes, and you'll see the ball comes up to his ear, the motion is concise, the ball's out quickly, and he fits it in between two defenders. Whereas compared to yesterday, there was a throw in the end zone, toward the end zone, remember? And he wound up, and the defensive back had a chance to get over and dive over and get the ball.
It was a deep in, and it was late, and it was long.
And his mechanics have deteriorated, and that's why he's not – part of the reason he's not playing as well, and he's predetermining where he's going with the football.
He did that early. He tried to force it down Robinson early, and there were other guys that were open. And if you go through your progression, it's a much easier – might be a different story.
How many catches does Allen Hurns have on the season?
I have no idea.
Stand by. We can get to that coming up.
So I think you're right, Pete. I mean, I was
– not many, I'll tell you that.
I was fighting the good fight, hoping that it wasn't true, and it's hard for me to tell as – unless you really do, like, side-by-side, you know, kind of two boxes on a TV and get it side-by-side, really time it up. But something ain't right.
We'll come back and talk about some of the weapons around Blake Bortles and what they've done in the offense, including Allen Hurns, Pete. You just asked about him. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand-new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more info. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I think every loss feels pretty much the same. They all feel pretty bad. You know, I think we were put in a position. I thought the defense played awesome. I thought special teams did a really good job. We had some unbelievable field positions and continue to tremendously underachieve this offense. And, you know, that is nobody's fault outside of mine, I believe. You know, I think Oli called some good plays and put us in some good positions, and we didn't get it done. Way too many turnovers, way careless with the ball. Got to continue to try and work and establish a running game. But there's times where that's not going to work, and you got to be able to win in a different way, whether it's throwing or doing different stuff. You got to find ways to win, and we haven't done that yet.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco on the line with us down in South Florida tonight. I think he pretty much summed it all up right there, guys, right? Got to find a way to win when you can't run and do other things well, right?
And look in the mirror.
There you I mean, he'd be the first to tell you, I think.
Yeah. I mean, what? Let me ask you the guys this. What did you guys think of him leaving the field with 16 seconds left?
I did not like it. I thought it was
I didn't know it, and Gus didn't know that until today.
I thought it was unprofessional.
Me too.
You're the quarterback.
You're supposed leader of that team. You got to stay on the field with your guys.
That's right.
As bad as you played, and as much as a competitor you are, and you hated the way the game ended, you have to be there with your guys. What did Gus say about it today?
He said he didn't realize it, honestly. I don't know if he didn't realize it until he was asked about it or if he found out earlier in the day. It was press conference about 1:30, so I would guess he would have found out earlier. But he didn't say anything about it otherwise. So.
Yeah, if I'm the head coach, he's getting called into my office, and I am telling him, look, this is on you. You're playing crappy. You got to stand out there and take it. You go be with your teammates. You can't walk off the field. That, you know what that reminds me of? That's like a kid who loses a game and he goes, I'm going to take my ball and go home and I'm not coming back. That was a bad look for Blake Bortles yesterday. And you know, Tony, I'm one of those guys that thought Blake Bortles had a chance to be really, really good, and I put him ahead of Derek Carr and all those other guys. That isn't the case this year. And everything,
not so far.
And everything he's done so far, everything, the motion, the mechanics, the feet, the long windup, the predetermining where he's going with the ball, the flustered look at times, the pressing, it's all of it has set him back.
The running off the field.
Big deal. Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad look for him. He should be – this is a guy – his arm is good enough, okay? Some of those passes come out of his arm and they flutter. Like, you know, the one Mosley picked off, that was a great play by the linebacker.
It was a terrible throw.
But you got to get it over the top of him.
Well, I'm not even sure it's the right decision. You have a safety over the top of Mosley's underneath, safety over the top.
Yeah, but Mosley made a great play. I thought that if he gets it a little quicker out, he's got it over the top, he's got a big play.
But to your point, Pete, there were a few, a handful that fluttered yesterday, worse than we've seen in a while, out of his hand. I mean, that's a mechanical thing, right?
He threw off his back foot because he felt a little pressure in his face. I'm not a quarterback guru or offensive coordinator, so I'm not sure if that's the right read or not. But with the Mosley running underneath, safety over the top, and TJ Yeldon on the check down sitting there at 5 or 6 yards with not a Raven within 7 yards of him, and it was 1st and 10. I don't think I'm 1st and 10, you force that. Check it down, take your, 6 to 10 yards and go about your business. Sometimes you just got to take what the defense gives you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but if he gets that ball out quicker and recognizes it quicker.
He couldn't get it out quicker because Mosley was running with him for a bit. Watch the tape, Pete. Come on.
I haven't seen the
22. You're better than
tape,
that. You're better than that.
I haven't seen
that.
The 22.
Stuff
I haven't
up.
Seen the 22.
Well, then don't say
no,
anything.
I'm not making stuff up. It looked like on the TV tape that he could have fit the ball in if he got it out there on time.
If he would have had a laser rope, possibly.
Well, then throw the laser rope.
Or a lobbed, perfect pass with the reality that your tight end might die. We're watching it right now.
Yeah, did you see his mechanics on the play? They're awful.
Yeah,
that was a great play though by the linebacker.
It was a very good play, but it was a terrible throw. And Pete, Pete, I understand what you're saying. I mean, you can force it in that window, and if it's a perfect pass, it's going to be a big play. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm 1st and 10, though. Take with the defense. If the check down's wide open, just take it. 10 yards.
Right.
Peyton Manning
made
Peyton Manning made a living of doing that.
Right, and that's something we thought that Blake had gotten better at this summer was the check down. Right? I mean, that was something that we thought that he would be improved on is taking the check down. And maybe he got so flustered because every pass called in San Diego was a check down that he said, enough with that. I'm going to try and take some shots.
Well, he did try to feed Allen Robinson yesterday. 11 targets, 7 catches for A-Rob, including 2 touchdowns. Lee involved, 5 catches, 44 yards on 7 targets. Hearns targeted 8 times, only 4 catches for 40 yards yesterday.
Here's one. Hearns 0-0-0 in the touchdown column for
Allen
Robinson.
How about that, huh?
Right. 0. He's got 13 catches for 179 yards. get on the ball. Get the tempo going. Get those guys spread. The strength of this football team is the wide receivers and the skill people. And even Mercedes is catching passes now.
Three catches yesterday.
Get those guys the ball. Spread them out. Go to five receivers at times. Go to four receivers. Spread them out. Dictate tempo. What they're doing now isn't working. It's not working at all. So try something else.
What do you suggest, Tony?
I'm busy in a little Twitter.
Yeah, you're tweeting right now.
A Twitter war right now. Sorry.
Yeah, you're in a Twitter war.
Twitter is killing Bacelli yeah. tonight, man.
Yeah, well, he's feeding the beast.
Usually that's me.
He's feeding the beast.
That's usually me, Tony, they're killing.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, so here we go. Let's take a time
sorry,
out.
Sorry, I'll go get off Twitter.
We'll come
that's
back.
Bad. Sorry, Joe. Joe's frustrated.
We'll come back. We'll do the injury report. We'll talk penalties again for the Jags. A little bit of an issue again yesterday that has carried over into week three. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name. The Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank. The next Jaguars game at Everbank Field is the Raiders game. Week 7, I believe. You can take it then. More coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We're back. JP Shadrick, Tony Bacelli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. Your calls coming up in the second hour tonight at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Plenty to discuss. Remember, Thursday, October 13th, it's Meet Me at the 50, benefiting In the Pink, presented by PRI Productions. Susie Culver and John Gruden are the keynote speakers, and you can register for tickets at jaguars.com/50, the number 50, and tickets are $75. We had Miss Michaela Bradley on the pregame show this past Sunday to discuss
the event
coming up in a few weeks. That's right around the corner, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It absolutely is.
If you go to that, you might learn how to throw little screen swing passes to the running backs.
Oh, you think Coach Gruden would chalk it up there, would you? Tony has no comment on that, I don't think.
No, he doesn't. No,
of course not.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Because I've never done it before. Have you ever blocked anyone before?
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Oh, a Twitter guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's easy.
Why? Are you trying to block
somebody? And by the way, that guy that you say you should be blocking right now, I would block him.
Would you? I've never done it before.
Yes.
So congratulations. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to say your name, but you're the first block ever.
Wow. Oh, yeah. It's about to turn into a block party over there.
Block party.
The way it's going tonight with you.
Oh, sorry. See ya.
All right, let's get to the injury report. We start off with a player that the Jaguars did not have an update on today, Brandon Linder. No update. They'll likely know some more later in the week on Wednesday when practice begins. Hayes Pollard left the game with a left ankle sprain and did not return. They'll evaluate him moving forward. Julius Thomas injured his elbow, played through it. Dan Scuda strained a muscle in his hip. He played through it. Devon House, did he throw up on the field, you guys said on the radio?
That's what Rick reported after Jeff reported it first. Yeah. We double reported that.
Well, apparently it happened then, two sources, and he was added to the injury report Saturday, tried to play through it, and we'll see how he goes moving forward. Chris Ivory sprained his right knee and his left ankle during the game, but he finished. He didn't have much yardage, though. What, 12 carries, 14 yards? And Kelvin Beachum continues through the NFL concussion protocol, and they'll update his status Wednesday. Oh, well, I mean,
and
you'd love to
Miles
have...
And Miles Jack?
What about Miles Jack?
Not playing anymore still, right?
No. Because Pozlesny and Telvin are playing at a high level, right?
Okay,
right. Correct. Let me say something.
I'll give you that.
The three best players on that field yesterday, and there was a bunch of guys on defense who played well.
Malik, no. Pozlesny, and Smith.
No. Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey, too.
Malik played very well.
Right.
Ngakoue played well. Fowler's coming on, those three. But
had some penalties, though. Shouldn't have had.
No, he did. He made some boneheaded mistakes, cost us 3 points. But I'm saying you can start seeing a little bit of the rush. I mean, it was nice. But Paz, Telvin, and Jalen Ramsey, those guys play with some passion and energy and flying around. I mean, the reason Miles Jack can't get on the field right now, because Paz and Telvin are better.
Which is what Coach Sala said a few weeks ago in a pregame show. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
But, and this is the big but. You can't get him on the field playing that way. Wouldn't you try and get him on the field and change some things up to get him on the field?
What, put him on a tailback like they did at UCLA?
No, you know what I'm talking about, Tony. Quit getting so caught up in Otto, Leo, Otto, to this guy here.
Where do you put him, though, Pete? This is actually a legitimate question. This is not being a smart ass.
If you played a conventional 4-3, you know, where the linebackers, you know, ran and chased and all that, you could get him on the field.
Right, but you're playing very little. I do agree with you there. On your base downs, I'd put him in there instead of Scooter. The problem is you're only been in base about 15% of the time.
Right. Yeah, he's playing 20 plays in that system. But at least he's getting on the field, though.
And I don't disagree there. I would put him in there at Otto.
You can't put him in over the other two.
I would not put him in over Telvin or Puz right now. They're both playing high-level football.
And he's not overweight from what I hear. He's not.
I never said he was. We were asking the question. His body – because we both agreed that his body type looked different. He was thicker than he was in college.
I thought Cyprian, at least from the TV, looked like he made some tackles yesterday that were pretty decent plays, too.
He made some really big hits, really nice open field tackles. I'm not sure I need the point to the sky after a 7-yard gain and a big hit, but he made some very nice plays.
He had 10 total tackles.
He really did. He played good football yesterday, Pete.
Has the free safety been a disappointment so far?
He had a pick, and he had some nice plays yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, but overall, would you say
disappointment was too strong?
The better free safety that was in free agency was on the other team yesterday.
They use him so much different, though, Pete. He's almost like a hybrid of strong and free because he's down at the line. That's why
he would have been the guy I signed. That would have been
Weddle.
Not to kill, but I'm a big Eric Weddle guy. But not to kill Gibson. But I don't think Gibson played very well the first 2 weeks. I thought he was better yesterday, at least from the TV tape.
Yeah, I thought he played well yesterday. My only criticism of the first 2 weeks, he missed some open field tackles. But I didn't think he was terrible.
Weddle is a better player, though.
Well, you want to know part of Lacy week one, that one.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, that's a business decision, right?
But there's a lot of people that don't want a part of Lacy.
Bad business decision.
That's
though.
True. Let's come
once
back.
Once he gets going, anyways, it takes him about a week and a day to get to the line of scrimmage.
Once he gets there, though, you don't want any part of it. We'll come back. Second hour. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Maybe some PFF grades if Pete can find those as well. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.